Hak Sukkot Sameach again, Mishpacha. Happy Sukkot. Today I want to talk about the holiday and its prophetic meaning for us. Let us open Leviticus chapter 23 and let us read verses 33, 34 and also verse 42. Leviticus 23, 33. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Bnei Israel and say, On the 15th day of this seventh month is the feast of Sukkot. For 7 days to Adonai. And verse 42. You are to live in Sukkot for 7 days. All the native born in Israel are to live in Sukkot. Sukkot translated into English as Feast of Tabernacles. It is a biblical Jewish holiday celebrated on the 15th day of Tishrei. And it is one of the three great festivals, Shalosh Harigalim. These festivals are major festivals in Judaism. Pesach, Passover, Shavuot, weeks of Pentecost, and Sukkot, Tabernacles. When the ancient Israelites would make the pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem, as commanded by the Torah, the main tradition on Sukkot are, first one, building of the Sukkah. The second, Hashanot, special Sukkot prayers, Ushpizin, invitation of guests, and pouring of water, water libation. This great holiday has several significant meanings. First meaning, this holiday is our people's memory of 40 years in the wilderness, when the Israelites lived in the booths. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 43. Leviticus 23, verse 43. So that your generations might know that I had Bnei Israel to dwell in Sukkot when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Adonai your God. Ina and I try to build a Sukkah in our yard every year, whenever it's possible. According to tradition, the Sukkah roof should be built so that the sky can be seen through it during the day and the stars at night through the roof. For me, one of the most exciting moments of Sukkot is when in the evening, when I'm in the Sukkah, I can look at the stars and thank God for the life He has given me, for His love, for His support and mercy in my life. In these moments in the Sukkah, we can feel the legacy of thousands of years in the ancient biblical Jewish holiday. We can understand the way our ancestors felt in the desert. Therefore, this holiday helps us to feel the deep inner connection between generations of people connected by faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's imagine for a moment what awe and joy filled the heart of a believing Jew in the desert when he was far from his Egyptian home and his ordinary life. Amid difficult trials, he could raise his eyes to the sky and see the visible presence of the Lord. During the day, he could see a pillar of cloud that covered the entire camp of the Israelites and kept them from the unbearable heat of the desert. And at night, a pillar of flame emanating from the tabernacle of Moses, which is the tent of meeting, warmed the whole camp on cold desert nights. And imagine how tangible the power and presence of the Lord was in that place at that time. It was Kevod. The weight of the Lord was there constantly. His presence became what they needed him to be, to get them through this difficult time. All the Israelites and the nation surrounding them believed in the existence of God because He was there. His power and glory were visible to everyone. Even a blind man could feel the fire of the Lord. Unfortunately, very few people obeyed Him. Today, you and I cannot see what our forefathers saw in the desert with our own physical eyes. But we can imagine this picture with our inner spiritual eyes of faith and relive this moment again. Therefore, Sukkot is a very personal and important holiday for me. How blessed we are that we can be part of the Jewish Messianic society. Remember the ancient heritage of our people and at the same time see the prophetic fulfillment of the Sukkot. We have this opportunity as Messianic believers. Therefore, the Sukkot holiday is an annual reminder of God's presence in our lives. The moment when we have the opportunity to feel the kavod, glory, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Kavod or glory in Hebrew means the weight, glory of God. The Lord is here today, right in the midst of your life. And the Lord will also be whenever you need Him to be, to get you through your own difficulties. He is always enough. So therefore, the second meaning of Sukkot reminds us that we are temporary, mortal, weak, and need the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5, 1. For we know that if the tent, our earthly home, is torn down, we have a building from God, a home not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. No matter how strong and healthy you are, please remember that your body is just a booth, a temporary sukkah. Today it is healthy, and tomorrow it may be broken or destroyed by the winds of this life. The past year has reminded us of this truth as never before. We have lost our dear brothers, Clad and Tom, and many others who are now in the heavenly dwelling, seeing the glory of the Lord in the New Jerusalem. Therefore, remember, we are temporary on this earth, and the Lord is eternal. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. In that day the heavens will be dissolved by fire, and the elements will melt in the intense heat. But in keeping with His promise, we look for the new heavens and the new earth, where righteousness dwells. As it was in the days when our people traveled in the wilderness for 40 years, the only safe place was in God's presence, near the tent of meeting, the tabernacle of Moses, in the cloud of and flame of the Lord. Remember what happened to those who dared to flee to Egypt or assimilate with the people around them. They were all overwhelmed by the enemies of the Jewish people. An enemy who has only one primary purpose in life, to kill and destroy the memory of the Jews and the God of Israel. The same is today. The only refuge for us is in the presence of God. Our lives must be hidden in the Messiah. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. It is an important verse for us. Colossians 3, verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. When Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. I love these words. We are hidden with Messiah in God. It is the revelation about the perfect atonement, the righteousness of Messiah on those who are accepted saving faith in Yeshua. You and I are hidden with Yeshua in God. Yeshua is our redemption and our shield from the wrath of God. He is our protection from all the powers of darkness. And He is our justification and our shalom. We have nothing to be feared and be ashamed of because we are in our Messiah, Yeshua. Therefore, the third meaning of Sukkot teaches us to live in another dimension, live by faith. One of the famous chapters, Romans chapter 1. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from trust to trust, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by emunah, by faith. From trust to trust, but the righteous shall live by faith. Although the people of Israel walked in the wilderness, at the same time they walked by faith. And they were chosen to follow the Lord, to trust Him, not to live like other peoples of the earth. It was a spiritual revolution, a spiritual awakening, a spiritual revival for Israel. Therefore, you and I are called to spiritual awakening, when the Lord and His reality are more important than everything around us. The desire to fulfill His calling should dominate in all the actions of our lives. It is an important fact. A huge problem today is a carnal Christianity, when people who call themselves the children of God live just like the rest of the world. Dear friends, we should not be afraid of what nations around us are scared of. We should not plunge into quarrels and arguments concerning the things of this world. Our values are the values of the scripture. Our lives are the lives of the Lord's servants. And only the will of God is our guide. Wake up. Remember who you are. What you are called to do. And who you should be afraid of. Please remember, this is time of Sukkot for you. One of the great examples we can find in the Bible, in the story of the revival of the Jewish people during the time of Nehemiah. It was a tough time when the Jewish people were in a difficult spiritual condition because they disobeyed God and His word. That was the time of their spiritual death, when the first temple was destroyed. And the Israelites were taken captive and scattered among the nations. The Lord prompted Nehemiah to restore Jerusalem, minister to the Lord, and bring revival and restoration to the Jewish people. And the first thing, after Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, he understood that without faith, without spirituality, Jewish people would never be safe. And would never be fully restored. It all started with the Torah, with the Word of God, with serving God. Let us open book of Nehemiah, chapter 7 and also chapter 8. Chapter 7, verse 1. After the wall had been rebuilt, the doors set up, and the gatekeepers, singers, and Levites appointed. And verse 8, I'm sorry, chapter 8, verse 1. Then all the people were brought as a single body into the plaza that was before the water gate. They said to Ezra the scribe, bring out the Torah scroll of Moses that Adonai had commanded Israel. Verse 5. Ezra opened the scroll in the sight of all people, for he was above all the people. When he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed Adonai, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. As they lifted up off their hands, then they bowed down and worshipped Adonai with their faces to the ground. And verse 9, When Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the Kohen scribe, and the Levites who were teaching the people said to all the people, "Today is Kadosh to Adonai your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping when they heard the words of the Torah. Verse 14. They found written in the Torah that Adonai had commanded through Moses that Bnei Israel should dwell in Sukkot during the feast of the seventh month. Verse 17. The entire assembly who had returned from the captivity made Sukkot and dwelt in the Sukkot. Since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until the day, Bnei Israel had not done so. And the joy was very great. After the day, from the first day to the last day, he read from the scroll of the Torah of God. So they kept the festival for 7 days. And on the eighth day, according to the regulation, there was solemn assembly. What a prophetic picture of our days. Today, our Jewish people are in spiritual slumber, far from God of Israel and his Messiah. In a sense, the majority of the people of Israel are spiritually scattered, in captivity to their artificial traditions and unbelief. Therefore, our calling is building the wall of our prayers and our ministry. We are called to preach God's word to people and bring revival to the Jewish people who and to the all peoples of the earth too. Therefore, on the holiday of Sukkot, the priest brought 70 bulls, one for each tribe on earth. It was a sacrifice, a prayer for all the nations of the earth. This is also our task, the task of the priests. The call of Sukkot is to come to the Messiah and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the fourth meaning of Sukkot, one of the primary services and traditions on Sukkot, was the outpouring of living water on the altar. Pouring of water, water libation in the time of the Second Temple. I want to read how the historic historic literature describes this ceremony. Whoever has not seen the celebration of the water libation has never experienced the feeling of true joy. Great lamps of gold were hoisted, with four golden bowls at the top of each lamp. Four young priests in training would climb to the top, carrying a mass of oil jars, which they would fill with the bowls. Once lighted, there was not a courtyard in all of Jerusalem that did not glow with the light emanating from the temple courtyard celebration. As the people sang, the righteous and pious men would dance before them while juggling flaming torches. The Levites, standing on the 15 steps that descends from the court of Israel to the women's court, played on lyres, harps, trumpets, and many other instruments. Two priests who blew silver trumpets stood at the top of the stairs on either side of the entrance of the great gate of the court. And all this was done to honor the commandment of the water libation. On the last or great day of the feast, the water libation reached its peak. The priest circled the altar 7 times and then poured the water on the altar. It was part of Hashanah Rabbah, the great Hashanah, which translated as "Save us now." So let's remember a few exciting moments here. Water was taken from Shiloh, in Hebrew Shilach, which means send. And the second, water was poured on the altar and was mixed with the blood of the sacrifice. This water mixed with the blood of the sacrifice was called the living water. With this in mind, let's read John chapter 7 right away. John chapter 7, verse 2. Now the Jewish feast of tabernacles was near, Sukkot. And verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, it was water libation. Yeshua stood up and cried out loudly, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, whom those who trusted in him were going to receive, for the Ruach was not yet given, since Yeshua was not yet glorified. Now, when we know the history and tradition of the Sukkot, Yeshua's call has a much deeper and a prophetic meaning for us. This joy, this custom of water libation on Sukkot, was a picture of the joy in the Holy Spirit. He told them in verse 38, "I am the sacrifice for you, and you will be filled with the Ruach Elohim through me, the living water." The only way to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, experience the joy of Sukkot, and gain freedom of the Lord, is to submit your life to the Messiah Yeshua. This is the call for deeper relationships with the Lord, a call for revival in His Spirit. Nothing more important than this. Believe in Him. And I want to close with a promise from the Lord about future times, the prophetic meaning of Sukkot. Let us open Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through verse 19. Zechariah 14, 16 through 19. It is about future time. It is prophetic picture of the future. "Then all the survivors from all the nations that attacked Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, Adonai Tzevaot, and to celebrate Sukkot. Furthermore, if any of the nations on earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Adonai Tzevaot, they will have no rain. If the Egyptians do not go up and celebrate, they will have no rain. Instead, there will be the plague that Adonai will inflict on the nations that do not go up to celebrate Sukkot. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate Sukkot." So my advice, it is better to learn how to celebrate Sukkot now, today. Chag Sukkot Sameach. Happy Sukkot. And in the end, I want to remind you, if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing, as we usually do at Beth Israel, and we will return to Eric's home for a final song. So let us pray together. Yiverechecha Adonai veishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.